Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Hey guys, I'm back. We're sorry. Back. I didn't mean to do it to us. I thought it was almost tongue in cheek that we could only be sad this weekend, that nothing good could happen. I really thought that we would just win and it would be a ho hum win that no one gave us any credit for. But I was far too right and I shouldn't have said it, and I'm sorry.
11 wins, Ryan.
11 wins, Fred. You convinced me of 11. I was saying 10. We still technically have a shot at 10.
Been a tough stretch, rough couple weeks. Apologize that I wasn't here for the last episode, which, to be honest with you, I was just so down in the dumps about everything. I hadn't even realized was a milestone for us. It took fans reaching out to us to bring it up and make it actually reality that it was episode 100, and it was quite the depressed cast. When I went back and listened to it, it was not a pleasant conversation that you had with yourself there.
No, it wasn't. For the behind the scenes crew, when you upload a podcast, you go through and you upload the audio, and then you have to change all the typing and the numbers and everything. And when I looked and saw the episode number that I had to move from 99 to 100 after I'd already recorded everything, I did have this moment of like, oh, okay, that was a weird way to do that. But then I was like, I'm not going to tell Fred because Fred's going to beat himself up about it. And then the Terrapin Thunderdome came to our rescue. Someone else noticed while they were listening that it was labeled number 100, even though it said nothing in the title. It just... number 100 next to episode number, and they congratulate us, which we always thank the fans, you know, for being that engaged, that they recognize those kind of things. But yeah, it was not the best way. So we're going to try to make up for that. We're going to get through a little depressing spout early about this game, and then we're going to get into a lot of cool stuff about our first 100 episodes.
We're calling this Side B of episode 100 for all you 40 and above.
Yeah, all you cassette motherfuckers out there.
But yeah, shout out to the fans, man. The guys that that brought it to our attentions in the Thunderdome. That, like I said, it's crazy, man. 3 years of doing this. Before we recorded this again, some behind the scenes stuff, I went back and just listened to episode zero, our introduction, and just the first couple of episodes. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years that we've been doing this, but man, it's been quite the ride. We've had many, many experiences, many fun moments along the ride, which we're going to talk a lot about, in the upcoming episode. But, we got to talk about what's happened over the last couple of weeks. I didn't really get to say a whole lot about Ohio State, and to be honest with you, I don't really want to say a whole lot about Ohio State. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but here we are, back-to-back losses, back-to-back Big Ten losses, a game against Illinois that, to be honest with you, it should have been a layup. They really shouldn't have even been in the game, but it came down to us beating ourselves. Untimely turnovers, a 14-point swing right before the half, just shot ourselves in the foot one too many times, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, untimely penalties. It felt like we were penalized every minute of that game. Yeah. Turns out only 5 penalties, I think it was, but they were just the worst times. It was always when it mattered. It was always on an incomplete pass that would have been third or fourth down. It was always when it to extend a drive. It was always to get them to score. They were the worst 5 penalties that have ever been called.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. And it wasn't just us. I mean, everybody that was in the stands was, you know, and I try not to harp too much on the refs because, yes, I mean, that's always a factor in a game, and you never want to play against a third team. But in this game, I mean, it definitely was. It was a factor. But again, if you don't shoot yourself in the foot, you come up with that late conversion on that run on third down, and you get that first down, and maybe you turn 3 points into a touchdown at the end of the game, and that forces Illinois with very little time to drive the whole length of the field and get a touchdown. And we're not even talking that. We're in a good mood. We're talking about a bounce back win. They just got the win, but here we are, man, two losses in a row, and it feels like shit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you couldn't ask for more at the end of that game. I mean, your defense had a couple good stands. More inside baseball here, but I decided that I was just so stressed out of the game that I was just going to check out of my seat. I, for the most part, every game, sit in my seat from kickoff to the end, period. Everything else is handled. My family lovingly brings me sodas and takes my kids to the bathroom, and I am engaged in this game. And I was like, nope, you know, I'm going to take the girls up. I got this. I'll go get some sodas. And then I brought back everyone in our group ice cream to just try to change a vibe, because everyone was sitting there so depressed on this muggy day. Oh, yeah, that just kept happening for no reason.
Wait, is that the right time? Is that the right time to play?
This is not an exciting conversation that we're having. No, it's not a good time.
My bad.
What? Yeah. So
fire the AV team. Whoever does the audio video, the video is okay, but whoever runs the button board in there, either this button was stuck, or that person just has no sense of what's going on, or like you said, the vibe that is in the stadium at the moment.
And I swear to you, it changed in the last two games, because you can go back on our show and make us look like idiots right now about all the compliments we gave the board and all the compliments we gave the video. But like 2 weeks ago, they came out with that stupid, like, you need more cowbell video that someone edited the word noise, which
it's awful.
This may be news to the people that even go to the game. The word they're saying is noise. But, like, you can't make it out. It's horribly edited. Like, a four-year-old could have done better with the word noise. And so that's awful. And then, literally, they must have got drunk at homecoming, or, like, you paid $1,000 to press the button to make the song play, because literally every 5 minutes we're playing fucking this.
Yeah. Absolutely terrible timing.
Absolutely terrible timing. It was like, I don't even like that we play it to start, but I get that it's like our one trick pony. We have one trick and we do it well. But like, so cool, you do it at the beginning. But after that, if it comes back up, it has to be at the right time. It has to be at a turnover. It has to be with a lead. It has to be, you don't play it while you're losing. What are you doing?
No.
You don't continuously play it while you're losing. Literally every commercial break.
There's so many other hype videos and hype songs they can use to try to change the vibe in the stadium and all that. But the entire point of Rock and Roll Part 2 was to rub it in your face when you're dominating somebody, or you're beating somebody that's a big opponent to us, or whatever. Illinois isn't a big opponent, one. And two, we were losing every time this song was played.
Yeah,
literally every time it was played. It was played four times.
It's an improvement on the overrated chant. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's when it should be used. But we have an AV guy doing a sports decision. Can we get somebody that knows sports in that room? There should be one room with a big red button. That's you know, and then that guy, the only guy's job is like, oh, momentum swing button,
right?
I'll sign up. I'll do it for free.
Yeah, so it just made for a really, really rough evening, because we're already irritated with the way the game's going and everything. Yeah. And then you got this guy fucking playing the song every 5 minutes in the inappropriate
time. I will say, though,
times.
The ice cream did work. We talked about Dairy ice Boys was work. One of our episodes that we had, where we were undefeated while we had an ice cream at the Maryland basketball game.
Yeah.
But we got the ice cream, and we had two defensive stands. We tied the ball game back up.
Yep.
But the ice cream just couldn't pull it out at the end. Apparently, I needed to buy two scoops.
Maryland Dairy for the win. That stuff is delicious. If you haven't had it, try it, because it is good.
It's 100% effective at basketball, if anyone's wondering.
So where do we go from here, Ryan? Obviously, we're still only one win away from being bowl eligible. That was the goal going into that Illinois game.
It's the floor.
That's definitely the floor. I don't know. I mean, can this team put it together to make a run and still improve on what we did last year? Do you think, what is it? They had 7 regular season last year and then the bowl game. So do you think 8 is still feasible? They can win 3 more games with the schedule they've got left?
I do. I mean, again, you still will probably be favored in at least two more games.
I don't give a shit about any of that stuff, though. Being favored doesn't mean anything. We just lost to Illinois in a game that we were favored by two touchdowns in. It doesn't matter.
That's 100% true. We've seen the ceiling of this team be able to compete with a number three, number four team in the country. So it does not mean that we cannot steal a game. We're more likely than to lose both those games than we were before the Illinois game. I 100% admit that.
Yeah.
But there could be that we get the same weird 9-win season by stealing a game we shouldn't have won and losing a game we should have won. Like that, we've said that multiple times in the year that was always a possibility, that there's a slip up in college football. It just happens.
Yeah.
But it just hurts with this back to back. If we had won this game and the slip up was Northwestern last week, or after the bye week, it wouldn't hurt as much. Like right now, it just feels like the sky's falling because you just won such a high. So I do think that we can get this turned around. I think it's going to be one of those things where the most likely scenario is 8 regular season wins, and then hopefully we keep our bowl win streak. Great. If that ends up happening, it's one of those things where you won't really feel good about this season until after the season. Yeah. And you look back and see that we still progress. We still made that step. They're baby steps every year, but they are steps in the right direction. But yeah, it's not what we wanted. It's not what we thought this team could do. That's for sure. It's still there. Big Ten championships are pretty much out. You only were allowed to have one loss to get in the mix of that.
You would have to win both games against Michigan. Yeah,
you'd have to win both games, and then you'd have to hope somebody helped you. When you had one loss against the top three, if you beat the other two, then they would also have one loss. So all you had to do is have someone steal against Ohio State. Right. Now it's much more complicated. But honestly, none of us before Loxley said it had that on our list. So I think it's unrealistic to even like get down on ourselves that's now out. This is not the team you wanted to be out on it for, but no. Even diehards had that in their realm of possibilities of winning the Big Ten when we started this year.
So, I mean, when we first looked at the schedule, we saw 9, potentially 10 wins that we thought that was a very obtainable goal going into this year, especially how the season kind of started. But if we're honest with ourselves, and we do take off the terp shaded sunglasses for a second, there's always that one game that gets away from us every single year. And it's always hard to predict what that game's going to be. I think if the Terps really want to salvage this year, they have to isolate this shitty loss to one shitty loss. Win the games from here on out that you're supposed to win. And like I said, hope for the best that you can somehow pull one off against one of the big boys that are left. I don't feel good about either one of them. Because, I mean, talk about like reaching your ceiling. I love Talia, and I've always kind of been an advocate and hope that like he's going to pull something together and he's going to have this kind of like magical run and get over the hump. I just think that we have seen the ceiling of Talia. Like this is who he is and this is who he always will be. I mean, yes, he has gotten better in certain aspects of his game. We don't see, like we've said it multiple times, we don't see the terrible sack loss decisions that he was making.
There were a couple in this game more than there had been.
There were. But turning the ball over, making smarter decisions, getting rid of the ball, for the most part this year has definitely shown, to me, leaps and bounds improvement. But as far as him as a passer, as far as how he plays in big games, I think we've seen what Leah is. So I don't know. Going into those big games, can he do it? It takes the perfect game from Leah to be able to do it. We saw a very good game in Michigan last year where they almost pulled it off, but he got hurt in that game. You know, Billy had to come in, all that thing. So I don't know. I think if they win the games that they should, 8 games and then 9 in the bowl is definitely obtainable still, but I don't feel good about either one of the big boys.
And you and all the other fans have said the same thing about it. It's like the same thing every year. We have this loss every year. But if you really look across college football, like almost every team has this loss.
I'm just saying us.
I know.
I'm just saying us.
But I'm just also talking to the royal like fandom out here. Like there's been the same comment over and over. It's just us. Like it's not just us. The difference between the very top programs and us is that say where Michigan is right now. They're riding high on the hog right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their game they let get away last year was the Terps game, but they still lost, or they still won. Like that we should not have been in that game with them the way they played the rest of the year. Like, that's the very top echelon. But every year you look and there's, you know, Appalachian State knocking off somebody that they got paid to play.
Yeah.
There's the Middle Tennessees that take somebody out that shouldn't be there. Like, yeah. This is like the story in college football. They're 18 to 22 year old kids. They don't do everything the way they're supposed to, no matter what the talent level is.
Right.
So to everyone out there, like, yes, it hurts. And it's the same thing over and over again, but it's not, because as long as we take care of the three games that we think we can still win, it's still improvement. And, you know, maybe we can pull a miracle. We'll see. I don't feel confident anymore. If we would have came out here and dominated Illinois, I would have been like, yeah, we still have an equal shot to beat the next two that we had against Ohio State.
Right.
But I don't feel that way anymore. I'm going to be shocked, but I will enjoy it because it'll be in front of me.
So I guess we should bring it up because we talk about it all the time. The fan support in this game, homecoming game, shitty weather. So like, we didn't have high expectations going to this, so, you know, again, full transparency. We didn't even tailgate this week because the weather was crappy and people couldn't go that normally do go. So our tailgate crew was smaller. And I guess every year you guys typically do the one non tailgate where you guys go out and eat dinner or eat lunch prior and then go to the game. That's what we did for this. We went and got some Sakura, which was a good change of pace. Didn't have to worry about,
yeah, it's fun. Somebody else is cooking, but you still kind of have like an entertainment vibe and you're talking around an open grill. It's kind of tailgatey. If anybody ever wants to do something before a game and it's a little messy or cold or whatever outside that you don't want to deal with, it's kind of fun. It's a fun change of pace.
So what was your, I guess, opinion overall on the fan support for this game? I'll sum mine up really quickly before you answer. It was what I expected. It wasn't good, but it's what I expected after a loss. It's already hard enough getting our fans to buy in and to come out to these games, but you add the elements into it. You add any excuse that these fans can leech onto, they won't show up. Then you give them the fact that they lost to Ohio State and everybody's like, oh, here we go again. It's the same team. Can't get over the hump. Can't win against the big boys, blah, 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 blah. Homecoming doesn't mean anything other than to the family and the friends of the players. So I didn't expect a big turnout, but it's still, again, it's just sad. It's disappointing. It's a 50,000 capacity stadium that we maybe had 25 there, 30 there, maybe at max.
Yeah. I don't even think it was that. Probably it was probably more like 15.
More than that.
But anyway, it's bad. But of course it was bad. And I won't give people the credit that it was the loss, cause it's a more reasonable thing. I think if we beat Ohio State in Columbus, crowd would look damn near the same, maybe a couple hundred more people.
Okay.
I think that this is a weak fan base. They do not come out in weather. It is a literal fair weather fan base. We only come to sit in the sun and enjoy a nice day outside with something vaguely in front of us. And it's the number one driver of the attendance of that stadium is how nice is it outside and what's the other name on the field. Those are the two things. I don't get it. I don't get another big thing that Maryland seems to do. Yeah, see another weird spot. Yeah, this is what the Maryland does this way not too
now.
Often.
No, not now. No,
interrupting Sorry. Cal. Interrupting Sorry. Cal. Got it. Sorry. Okay, that's another. We also, yeah. but the other thing that we do, which isn't unnecessary, like this is not 1990. You can make plans for your fan base in a matter of seconds. You can send email blasts to all your season ticket holders. You can send tweets out. You can send social media things out. We don't need to pre-plan these red outs, these gold outs, these blackouts. They don't need to happen.
You can't out it.
Yes. And has it been okay in the past at times? Sure. But the world has to align. You can't just pre-plan this at the beginning of the season. You have to wait. You have to have the hype around the team. You have to have the weather appropriate. You have to, if you look at the 14-day forecast and there's no rain 3 days out and we've won four or five games in the first five, then put out a post. We're having a red out against so-and-so. It doesn't need to be decided in June. It doesn't. There's nothing. You own the jerseys.
Right.
You have social media. You have the emails. I'm so sick of going to silver outs. That's all it is. The silver out. There's empty bleachers everywhere. Stop putting it on there because all it is fuel for the fire for these other teams to go, look at this red out they advertise. I don't see any red.
I mean, I hear your point.
You can't have it in a rain game. We're not there. The whiteout would still be a whiteout in pouring torrential rain with an 0-6 team. Okay? they're going to be there. We're not there yet, so wait. Just wait.
I see your point, but this also comes from a guy who has a wife and a friend that want the schedule of what they're going to wear before the season starts, what the colors are going to be.
Yeah, they're wrong, too. I can say that because she doesn't listen anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. That's always drove me crazy. Like, you know, Penn State earns the right to have a whiteout, and it looks fucking awesome when that stadium is fully packed and everybody is wearing white. Like, we gotta get to that point before you plan those things. And let me tell you, you confirmed that I guess it's a real thing. But if we really are wearing those gold mustard colored fucking jerseys for Penn State, I might not go. That's awful.
It's going to be a yellow out, Fred. Ugh. There'll be no yellow in the stands. It'll be 90% Penn State, but it'll be a yellow out. I had to buy a yellow shirt. No one owns a yellow shirt.
Do you remember when the Ravens wore the mustard pants the one time? And everybody
Steelers
fucking,
uniforms.
Everybody ridiculed them, and they never wore them again. They literally wore them for one game. That's what these jerseys are going
to
be.
Fred, you are preaching to the choir. I hate the gold out in basketball. The gold uniforms are awful because there's literally two different color yellows on them. And I don't know what to tell you. You're only allowed to have one. Our colors are yellow, red, black, white. It's not yellow, kind of yellow, white, black. That's not how it works. So you cannot have two different yellows on the same jersey. That's silly. And that's exactly what these jerseys look like. And it's 100% what those awful gold basketball jerseys look like. It's terrible. Are we done with the negativity?
I was about to say, let's turn the frowns upside down, man. Let's talk about some positive stuff.
100 episodes, yeah, people. You're still with us.
Cheers, everybody, for all you that are actually watching. Cheers. Appreciate you guys supporting us over the years. It's why we do this thing. You know, I mean, it's obviously, like I said, we went back and listened to episode zero before this whole thing started, and we kind of like listened to what goals that we set. And really, the whole idea and the whole premise behind doing this thing was to provide more content to a team and a university. It really didn't have a whole lot out there to choose from.
Yeah.
But then of that content, to provide a good quality audio product, something that, you know, represents itself. It's easy to listen to. It's balanced because, you know, even the ones that were good out there, the audio quality was god awful back then, to the point where I didn't even listen to them. I don't know how you grunted through it, because I guess you had
no grunted through it because I'm just this diehard and I always had this desire for more content. And there was no reason for those people to push themselves and make the content better because there was no competition.
Right.
And I've never wanted to be competition out here. I just wanted everybody else to get better. And honestly, it may have nothing to do with us, but the quality of pretty much everyone has gotten so much better in the 3 years we've been doing this. I'm sure there's improvements just of technology and that people were behind the curve and we're getting the older technology. A lot of it probably has nothing to do with us, but we have this visual on YouTube. Now most of the other ones are doing visuals on YouTube. We have audio qualities that are better mostly across the board. Still a couple that kind of need some work. But you know, when you're high on the hog, you just don't get pushed. And
yeah,
that's where we are.
I think a lot of audio companies out there and different things, like we use Restream for YouTube and stuff like that, has made it dummy proof for people. So it's really easy to be able to plug in a mic and sound halfway decent now versus 3 years ago. Things have definitely changed a lot, but and it's been a hell of a ride. It's been a lot of really, really cool times for us. You know, this was never about like a money maker for us. This was never about
that.
Like,
we randomly had sponsors at times, but really for no reason.
Yeah. It was more so just to pay to cover the fees that we have for podcast and hosting and things
and
like that.
And to get these sweet hats.
That was the best
sponsorship we ever had.
Best sponsorship. We were never paid for it, but we got free hats out of it. And those things are like $200 or worth $200 a piece. So that was pretty cool. But I mean, again, it was just about providing another source of a show for you guys to listen to. It was never about being the best show out there, but it was about giving you a good product for fans, by fans kind of thing.
Giving me a way to vent my problems with this team and
yeah,
a therapy session after losses and a celebration with someone that enjoys Maryland because I always sounded like a man screaming into the field. Everyone will be like, oh, did you see that Terps game? No, I didn't see it. Well, why not? Why is no one watching with me?
All right, so let's review, man. Let's dive into some fun games with this. Let's do a draft, right? So
sports, I like it.
Yeah, just keep with the theme, right? Let's do a draft of our top three off the mic moments. So not actual episode related, but off the mic moments that have Shell and Tell ties to it. I'll let you go first with this one.
All right, off the mic moments. I think
number one draft pick overall.
You're having me go first on this one. Yep. I'm gonna steal the number one overall. It's got to be Minnesota.
Yeah,
it has to be the Minnesota trip. Everything about it, are the beginning of our Big Ten tour. The low expectations of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We literally were talking in episode zero about the fact that we were going to go to Minneapolis,
Minnesota. And we were not excited about it at all.
Yeah,
really.
Just trashing it. That like all there, when you look it up, all there are to do is waterfalls and
museums.
And museums and the Mall of America. And we found some more to do there. And we found the nicest people and met with, you know, multiple families of players, and just it was so welcoming. It was an amazing experience that I apparently will never be equaled. We've had a couple since then that have been good, but it's been nothing like that first experience. It was the acceptance and the accessibility and all the fun that was there.
I 100% agree with you. That would have been my number one overall pick in this too. It's just it was such a good time unexpectedly. They're really, I mean, just the even tying in the podcast that we recorded there and just the back and forth and the relaxedness of it and just drinking and being drunk and being open and just talking about the whole thing. It really was a good time. Yeah, even though we got our asses absolutely kicked. It was like 50-something to 7.
It was terrible.
It was awful.
Rashad Bateman ate us alive.
The game sucked, but everything around the game was fantastic.
That's how good the trip was we didn't care.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll let you have that one because that was going to be my number one pick too. For me, I guess off the mic would probably have to be College Game Day. So College Game Day was a really cool thing. And I don't want to say it was like Shell and Tell. It was more of a Fred and Ryan thing. But
that's why we had the excuse to do some of this, man. Like,
yeah,
we,
true. I'm like, not sure if we would have.
Yeah, we would. We felt like we had to be at more of the all kind of off the wall stuff because we were doing this podcast. And it made us drive that 90 minutes down to College Park a lot more often than we would have without these mics.
Yeah, and just everything behind it, right? It had been forever since College Game Day had been there. And then just getting to see like how they do the, you know, where they bring in the cameras and we're all kind of choreographer to do the lights and all that stuff. It was cool to see. And then obviously our experience with the flag drop and me being so naive and not aware that SVP is literally standing in my ear hole to my left.
Yeah. SVP comes up on the screen in front of us and Fred hits me on the shoulder and goes, look, SVP. And I'm looking at him.
I wasn't saying, look, SVP. I was saying, look, it's us. Cause you can see us. I didn't see that it was SVP.
Oh, I thought you saw SVP on the screen.
No.
And so I hit him and I said, yeah, he's right there. Cause it was so loud that I thought you had told me about SVP.
No.
So I hit your shoulder. Like, yeah, he's right there. Like, look over your left shoulder. Not to mention, we were manning the corner of the flag on the left, and who was on the right?
Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little hesitant because it was Shell and Tell was still pretty new, and I'm not one to like, I don't know, I don't boast myself. I don't go out and drop off, you know, business cards and things. That's just not who I am. But we did have cards made for Shell and Tell so that people could find the podcast easy. It had a QR code on it to scan and all. And looking off to the right, on the other end of the flag, in the same row that we're in, Ryan goes, I think that's Ellis McKinney on the other end. I said, Ryan, no, that's not him. It's like, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably Ellis McKinney, but I know what Ryan's going to do, and I don't want him to do it. So, nah, I don't think that's him. So I thought he was just going to let it go. He goes, no. I'm pretty sure that's Ellis McKinney, and I'm going to go give him a business card. I was like, oh, fuck. Ryan, don't do it. You know, Ryan leaves, goes down, and it couldn't have gone any better and formed a friendship over it over the years. We've had a lot of cool moments with Ellis. We got him on the show and all that. So it was just a really cool moment to know that we were anchoring one corner of the flag while Ellis McKinney was anchoring the other side. So it was a college game day. It was a really cool experience.
It was a really cool one.
All right. So I guess we'll do this as a snake style, being that you got the number one overall pick. Minnesota trip, college game day. You know what? I think for me, again, another off the mic moment, which is really cool, an experience I don't know if I'll ever get again in my life, was the courtside basketball seats that we ended up getting from Rudy, which if you're on social media or if you're connected to the program in any kind of way, you'll know who Rudy is. He's the one of the biggest supporters of the program, one of the biggest donors to the program. You know, he was giving away courtside seats, which he does pretty often.
He's the one that brought back this.
Yeah, so you'll know that guy, right? But, I mean, so he gives away his tickets quite often when he can't go to the game, especially, like, early in the season, non-conference games.
Non-conference stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And that's what this was. But it was really cool. Like, he had posted them. I think Ryan had made, like, one comment on them. And then he reached out to us and was like, dude, for everything that you guys are doing for the program and all that stuff, it was an easy pick to give it to you guys.
Yeah, he said, I usually like to give it to young kids and their dad or whatever, right. But you know, you've done so much for the program, like, enjoy these seats. Yeah,
that was pretty awesome. And then just the experience of it, man. Getting down on the floor, walking past the legend and Johnny Holiday. I had to hold you back from giving a goddamn business card to him, too. Walking past Johnny Holiday, being right next to the players. And, you know, they go through those, you know, layup drills and stuff, and watching them slam. And you had not Jameer Young. Who'd you have? Oh man, who was the guy that was dunking the ball? It was the
Flash,
kid,
whatever the
The kid from Rhode Island, right? When he was Rhode Island,
yeah, the really fast, tiny guy.
Yes, Fats
Russell.
Fats Russell.
I said, yep. Flash. It was Fats.
Fats Russell. And that kid, man, he had like literal springs in his calves. It was a really cool moment. It was just cool to see the game that up close and personal and just get a real perspective of how fast the game is and how big these dudes are. It's fun. Yeah,
absolutely crazy experience. Well, you know, I will follow it up with another courtside moment that I only had because of Shell and Tell. We already mentioned the day I met Ellis McKinney and the friendship that belonged from it. Mm-hmm. And a hookup that I got through that man was some courtside ladies tickets for my girls to take them down there. They also gave me like signed posters for the girls, and they had their name on the board welcoming them. It was like a whole thing that happened, and it happened because of this show and because of my relationship with Ellis McKinney and the hookup that I got through that. And it was really cool. It was a great day.
It was. It's, you know, it was cool to see how happy and excited the girls were to be there. It was their first experience with a women's basketball
game. I'll never forget Bibby. They literally were like crying that Bibby was leaving the program. Like that, I'm like, you can't play college basketball forever. They can't grasp that thing yet.
Right. All right. So you get back to back too. So what's your next
one? All right. This is my last one, right? So I'm going to take the Pinstripe Bowl, just the whole experience.
Damn.
The time with you and my father and James that came up, and like all the fun that we had there, where we were able to like go through New York City and have just like a bro day, and just like, you know, the stand up comedy, the game, the being inside Yankee Stadium, like all of these things. It was a really, really fun time.
Yeah, it was another great trip. I mean, all of our trips were good. You took my last one, so if I have to pull another one, I'll have to go Charlotte, you know, our
which one? We went twice, Fred.
Yeah. So sorry, ladies, not that you're listening to it anyways, but I'm going to have to go with the other bro trip because I mean, just everything again that was around that. We went there with a planned golf trip. We got to do golf when we first got there. Got to hang out with Eric for a while, which was the first time I had really had a chance to hang out with Eric for any kind of stretch of time. And he, you know, sucked it up, even dealing with his injury that he had to his arm and all that stuff. And he might have been a little crippled, but we had a really good time. And Again, another game where we got real close to the tunnel, got to see the players, even got some reactions from like Loxley that we were there with the big hats on and all that stuff. It was a really fun time, man. I mean, but you could go down the list. Again, all those trips were so fun. They were all a great time. Michigan was a fun time too. I was just surprised there wasn't more to do in Michigan.
Boring-ass town.
It was a very boring
town. Ann Arbor is a horrible city.
Yeah.
It's a great stadium. It's an awful city. There's nothing to do there. It's boring as a get out. Restaurants. You want to eat? We can eat. We can eat again. Does anyone want to eat the next meal? Because it's all there is to do is eat.
Right.
Awful city.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the game was great and, you know, being in it till the very end and being in the big house, the experience I'll never forget. It's my first time ever being there in Michigan. But just overall experience, I'll give it to Charlotte when we played Charlotte.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, honorable mention, like you said, Michigan. We had the secondary bowl game down there in Charlotte a second time.
Yep.
We're just meeting. One of the big things, I think that was Michigan, was meeting Greeley's family out there at one of the bars. That's cool. And he's been one of our fan favorites. And that's been kind of like the fun is like the off the wall players that we've gotten weirdly attached to through like different interactions with family or friends or the players themselves, the engagement on social media. One of the cool things off the mic that we didn't mention is the countdown that we did every last two seasons and
jersey all the engagement and all that
we got from that.
And
the fact that when I didn't do it this season, I had people reaching out, like ask me why, like, hey, where's the countdown? Like, it was, you know, heart wrenching, brought me back to the mics, that the people actually cared about that. So that was a cool experience.
All right. Well, speaking of mics, let's do another draft. Our top three favorite pod moments. So actual mic moments, on the mic moments. I'll go first on this one. And I'm going to take the same one that we had.
Same one. There's no other pick. There's literally no other pick.
It's 100% the Minnesota trip and the Minnesota pod. Just again, the looseness of it, the being drunk of it, going, you know, just coming back to the mics and recording, you know, after we'd go out for a few hours and come back and just talk about
recorded in segments.
Yeah,
you could literally relive our whole trip through that episode. Yeah.
And then editing the podcast and you going out, I'm fully fucking hammered. You go out to DP Doe to get some pizza. I completely pass out while editing the podcast. It was just a fun time. It was a great pod. It's the only one that I've gone back to and listened to multiple times. You know, the other pods I might listen to here and there or whatever. It's rare, but that one I've probably listened to at least four or five times since we've recorded it. So
it was
a really cool. It was a really fun trip overall.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think my number one's probably Chig. It's the only NFL player that we've had on the pod.
Okay.
He was already in the throes of like the NFL training. So he was pretty much there.
Yep.
And just the openness and like the honesty that he could speak about the program at that moment, knowing that coach isn't really looking at this anymore. There's nothing Dustin can say about it.
Right.
Just kind of felt more free than some of the other player podcasts that we had. And we have, I had no pre-existing relationship with Chig whatsoever. That was, I can't even remember how that got set up. that's honestly beyond me right now. It wasn't, the other episodes we've had with players, there's been back and forth before, like meeting them in person or what it's been.
But right.
Chig kind of came out of nowhere and it was a really, really cool episode. Really good thing that, you know, he hopefully has his NFL career continues and, you know, 8-9 years down the road, I'm still like, hey, that's a guy with the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, that was that would have been one of my choices for sure. He was just a really laid back guy. He was real easy interview. Like you said, he didn't really, you know, he didn't mince his words. He said what he wanted to say. And him and I still talk back and forth on Instagram a little bit here and there. So he remembers us, which is cool. And he's doing his thing in the NFL. So that was a really cool pod as well. I guess for my back to back, right? Am I back? No.
Yeah.
Did you pick?
You took the first one, so I'm back to back.
You're back to back, right? So you got another one.
All right. I'm going to cheat because there's no rules to this draft. I'm taking two podcasts with this back to back. I'm taking Pecorella and Pecorella Returns.
Well, that makes sense.
Anthony Pecorella, the punter with a plan, the man with all the, you know, the man that was always standing next to Coach Locks, the man with all the attention, the
punter,
the most famous punter in the history of time. Punter with a personality. Great interview the first time.
Yeah.
So engaged, back and forth conversation with him, you know, ongoing, behind the scenes forever. And then when he decided to transfer out, he actually reached out to us and was like, hey, I'd like to say bye to the fans, like, and then wanted to use you guys in order to do that. So it was cool that we kind of were like requested by him, not us requesting
top
him.
Of mind.
You know what I mean? Like to use us in that way. So that was really cool. And then all the stuff he's going through right now, send out my thoughts and prayers to Pecorella with his cancer treatments. I'm sure he's out there kicking butt right now.
Yeah, of course. If there's anybody that's going to beat it, kick its ass, it's going to be him. But yeah, I mean, Pecorella is just all around great dude. You know, everything that he does for mental health awareness as well. Obviously, you know, I go through my own struggles with mental health. So anybody that is an advocate for that, it gets a, you know, kudos from me. And he's just, again, just a good person, a good punter. A good kid. That guy's going to be successful in anything that he does in life. So that's a good choice for you. All right. Me back to back. I'm going to go with the show that didn't happen, or it did, but there's no evidence of it happening. And that was the live show at the tailgate with Ben Page and his crew. What's the name of their tailgate?
Old Line Tailgate. We had some generator issues up there.
We did. We took some power bank that I thought would be able to run it. That didn't work. He had a little bit of a generator up there that we thought would be able to handle all the equipment that we had. We had some issues with that. And
generator kicked on and off, and apparently one of the ons fried the memory chip.
So it
looked like it was recording, but it was doing nothing.
There's video of it. Like, you can see us interviewing.
We got a silent film if you want proof.
But no audio of it, which really, really sucks. Because, again, we had Ellis McKenney on the pod that day. And, you know, he talked to us for a while, did the whole coach speak thing that we did with him a couple times. We had Julian Reese. Yep. On the show as well, which was
rolled up on a scooter. We got a video of that silent that film. Cool. 8 foot tall person come in on a scooter, which made him 9 feet tall.
Yeah, that was a cool moment for me. I mean, Reese is obviously the star of that program right now, and to have him on the show was just a really cool moment. It sucks that there's no audio of it. I would love to be able to go back and listen to that.
If we're drafting biggest regrets of the show,
yeah, right. But that was just a cool day overall. I mean, we had that, and then we had the spring game, and then we went over and watched the baseball game afterwards. I mean, it was a whole day of Maryland sports for us, and it was a good time.
Real good time.
Yep. So I'll take live show with my second pick, and then my third pick. I'm going to go back to episode one and the Dino episode, because – one, I mean, whoever expected us to have a player on our very first episode? I had no expectations of that.
I tried. I messaged everybody.
You did.
Almost no one replied to me.
Right.
Some replied no. Most replied none at all.
Right.
And Dino's like, let's do it.
Yeah. And a name like Tomlin, to have that tied to our first episode was really cool. Obviously, you know, if you go back and you listen to the recording in the episode, I mean, he's heating up a hot pocket, I think, in the middle of an interview with the microwave going in the background. Yeah. I got to talk to him about the whole Jacoby Jones incident.
Dad walking on the field. That was the surprise question at the end. Afterwards, we asked him if he wanted to take it out. He let us leave it in.
Right.
Then we got smacked on the hand by Dustin.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It put us on the map immediately.
Immediately.
Maybe not in a good way, because Dustin reached out to us immediately and was like, hey,
don't do that ever again.
How did this happen? Let's not let that happen again. You need to come through me. Which led to the Minnesota trip. And then it's just, so again, it all ties together. But
I walk into the team hotel and Dustin's sitting at a table in the waiting room. And I'm like, that's Dustin. Fred's like, no, it's not, of course. Again, because he's lying to me again.
Yep.
Now that he's let that bag out. And I'm like, nope, that's Dustin. I'm going to go shake his hand. Be like, you know, let him know who he's been yelling at via email real quick.
That point, I didn't really care. I was hanging out with the bus driver, and her and I were having drinks and having a good time at the bar, so it was fine. Well, shout out to that lady. I don't know if she listens to the show or if she still drives the bus for them, but she was a lot of fun. She was a good time. That was an awesome night too, man. Just again, tied it in the Minnesota trip, man.
That's why I was number one.
Randomly walking around the city, we find the hotel that the team's in, and then we're sitting there having drinks in the same bar with all the players and their families and stuff. It was, yeah, again, just a hell of a trip. But
hell of a trip.
So Dino, that would be my last one there. What's your last pick?
You know, there's a lot of them out here. It's my last pick, so I can just talk it through. I feel like I should take Ellis's first episode because of everything that came from that and how fun it was to have such an expert at offensive line talk offensive line.
Yep.
But I think the thing that's most unique, the episode that I got through like weird connections that I've never heard anywhere else, is the one that I want to pick.
Okay.
We have Officially Speaking was an episode that we put off out in the off season when nothing was going on. And it was an interview with me and a college official. It ended up being, it was a Big 12 official. I couldn't get a Big 10 official on, didn't have any connections with them. But I ended up talking with a Big 12 official, and it was really cool to get the third team's perspective on everything and what goes in to college game days that we're not really thinking about. Right. All the thought process and all the teamwork on that side. And it's a really fun one. If you guys haven't heard that one, I would go back and listen to Officially Speaking. It's just a cool, different thing that I've never really, you never see people talk. The only time you see officials talk are like the rules experts they have on like Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football, where they're like, how do you think about that challenge? Like, that's it. You never see them in like those, you know, sports talk places. Like, why is Ed Hockley not on an ESPN desk? Like,
right.
I would love that. Like, and it just doesn't happen. So, that was the most unique. So, love you, Ellis. Great episode. You're definitely right at the top of the honorable mention.
I mean, we mentioned him in five different other things.
May have been able to replace any of these. I think that's why I didn't go with this. We've already talked about Ellis six different ways. Mm-hmm. Another thing with Ellis is the episode we had with Marty McNair with, it published with his book and all of those things, because Ellis is so tied in with the Jordan McNair situation, all the fundraising and stuff with that. Ellis has been tied into like everything. I don't know how he might as well be the third co-host. Like, it's weird at that point.
It's been a cool ride for 3 years, man. All these episodes brings back a lot of memories. Obviously, there was the Ty Felton episode, which we didn't talk about that too. Ty, another one that's just surprisingly well spoken. Just got a very good head on his shoulders. Like, I don't know what I expected from him because I hadn't heard anything. I hadn't heard him do anything.
It's because we hadn't heard him at all.
I think that's what it was. I just hadn't heard anything from him, so I didn't know what to expect. And I mean, that kid fired off responses right away. Like, again, just really well spoken, and good to see him finally getting his breakout year, and hopefully he can finish it strong with these last few games of this year.
Another thing we got to go with talking about is the whole period that we had with Ahmed, the fact that he reached out to us and wanted to be on the show, and that we had this quality product to try to, you know, build that for him. I'm very happy with him and with the Young Terps guys. I think they got something going on way better than we could offer, because this is a hobby at best for us. And both of them have it as at least a side gig, if not a full blown career opportunity. And so I think that it's great what they got going on. It definitely was one of the most shocking things, because as a fanboy of all things Terps, Ahmed was right at the top of that list. So to get that DM or email or however it was, I don't even remember at this point, of like wanting us instead of us wanting him, was definitely one of the cooler things that this show has brought up.
I agree. I mean, the partnership that we had with him was great. It added a whole nother dimension to the show. You know, we talked earlier about it really just being a for fan by fan kind of show, and we still had that aspect, but it brought an insider's perspective to the show, which brought in a whole nother side of the fan base to us, because the diehard fan out there doesn't really care to listen to a couple fans banter back and forth about a game, but they want to hear about upcoming recruits and, you know, different things going on within the program and stuff and practice, you know, how people are looking like, and that's what Ahmed brought to us in value. And, again, it's always been a good relationship with Ahmed, and you know, I wish him nothing but the best with the success with Young Terps, because like you said, that's a those are two guys on a path to make a career out of this, and I think both of them are great at what they do and what they bring. It's just like I said, for us, it's just a hobby, and that's what this is, will always be.
Support almost all the podcasts out here.
I don't have any negative words towards any of the podcasts. Could they spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes making some of their sound quality better? Of course. Yeah, they could. But, you know, to each their own. And again, I have no ill will towards anybody.
Yeah. Another one just popped up. If anyone hasn't seen Protect the Shell, it's with D. Gray, our one of our tackles from back in the day that played for the Steelers for a minute. Cup of coffee up there. He's made his way back home to the Terps. Apparently had some Steelers podcast for a while. Now he's doing some Terrapin podcasting. So definitely check out Protect the Shell with D. Gray. You know, total insider information there. You know, played at the highest level and was here through with Loxley, and you know, kind of that insider stuff we had with Ellis.
I wonder what his opinion on Matt Canada is.
Yeah,
that whole situation. That's
a very interesting thought process. Since the Steelers hate Matt Canada, like apparently we really dodged a bullet when Joshon Jones didn't catch that overtime pass, because we would definitely have Matt Canada as a head coach, and it's not going so well as an offensive coordinator.
No, it's not. Not at all. You know, the whole like chant that they do up there. What's that song? Here we go. When it's all about Matt Canada and they're changing that song to fit the narrative of Matt Canada. Yeah, you know, shit is bad.
I saw him celebrating with a player, and then another player was like, it's sure not you. Like,
yep. I think that was last year, but yes, I saw the same clip. It was
bad. It's like, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's
so, and I'm pretty sure it was a kicker. It was either the kicker or I think it was the kicker. It was Boswell that made that comment going into the locker room. So that's a kicker with harsh words about
the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun thing to do.
Funny. But here's to 100 more episodes coming to you. We don't know if it's going to be every week. We don't know how many it's going to be a month. We don't know how much we're going to do in the offseason, basketball season. I don't know. We're just going to kind of wing this thing. I mean, I know our goal
very little. I just want you guys to know we're only coming back for like the good, like high-end basketball games. So this started as a football podcast, and it's back to being a football podcast, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
And much fun as it is, it's also work.
It is. It's work. And that was also part of the thing that, you know, we're with Ahmed and the Inside the Black and Gold thing. I mean, everything about them is publishing everything on a routine basis, on a regular basis, and all that stuff. And that's something that we couldn't provide.
We couldn't live up to it
going forward, and we couldn't live up to that. So hopefully with the Young Terps thing, they can do that, you know, on a more regular basis.
And they are. It's great.
Yeah. And so far it's been great. So, but here's to 100 more episodes. Thank you guys for all your support. We appreciate all the kind words. To be honest with you, that's another thing that I could have put in there as far as the off the mic moments, is just the fan support that you guys have given us. I mean, honestly, it never gets old listening when listeners come up to us and say, hey, thank you guys for putting the show together, and thank you for, you know, giving us your takes and your opinions on what you do and putting in the time and effort, because again, that's why we do this, is for you guys to just have something to listen to and try to help you get through some of these tough losses, like an 0-2 streak that we got going on right now. It's been a real pleasure doing this for the last 3 years. So here's to, again, another 100 episodes more.
Absolutely. Like I said, 101 salutations. Those salutations. Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Right.
Mel, thank you. We're truly yours. We are truly yours, guys. This is what we're here for. You know, and our favorite salutation. Here's to wishing all is well under the shell.